It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I, of course, am Chris Shearn, the host of the show, and our co-host, Joe Oriam, will be joining us right after the monologue. You know, that part of the show where I get to stand on my soapbox and vent without any interference. I know Joe likes to, you know, get on my case a little bit with some of the stuff I say, but he can't say jack in this first area of business. So that's just a joke. Joe adds a lot to this program, and his thoughts and analysis are very much welcome here. We're going to break it down. The whole first segment, the whole monologue, is going to be a nursery rhyme of local teams. We're going to talk about the Jets. We're going to talk about the Mets. And we're going to talk about the Nets. Now, maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago, if you listened to this podcast, you would have heard me say that every one of these teams, well, this is when the Jets were 4-6, you know, playoffs were something that people weren't even thinking about. Now they're in the AFC title game, for crying out loud. But I mentioned that, you know, if it pretty much ends in ets, you don't want to be a fan. But the Jets are completely taking that commentary that I brought out, putting it directly in the toilet and flushing it. I got to tell you, if anybody out there thinks that the Jets can't win this game, you obviously haven't been watching the Jets play football the past 3 or 4 weeks. Obviously. The last time this team lost, it was to the Atlanta Falcons. And let's face it, they stunk. They couldn't do anything on offense. And the last drive, as Joe brought up, and I keep bringing it up because it was a great point. I love the Jets' defense. I mean, who doesn't? But they couldn't stop an injured Matt Ryan from leading the Falcons, those dirty birds, to score the final touchdown and win the game. Couldn't stop them. And at the time, Joe was all over him. I didn't think it should have been as much as he was all over him. But I kind of backtracked. Because if you're going to be that team and if you're going to puff out your chest with that bravado, if you're going to be that kind of defense, I don't care what the offense can't do. You're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. And guess what? The Jets have been walking the walk for the past month. And then some. Oh, well, the Colts say, you know, they didn't have their full team. Oh, that's fine. They won the game. Oh, the Bengals, they were just taking the week off because they knew they were going to play the Jets the next week. They won the game. And guess what? So much for taking the game off to get ready for the next week, because the Jets went into Cincinnati and manhandled the Bengals. Albeit Carson Palmer was not Carson Palmer. He was hurt too. But make no mistake about it, there have been 8 seeds in the NHL and in the NBA that have taken out 1 seeds. In the NHL, if you have a hot goalie going into the playoffs, I don't care what seed you are, you're winning. You put a couple of goals in the net, the game's over. Game is over. The Jets are riding this hot defense like Roy Rogers rode the horse off into the sunset. A little Die Hard reference there. Can't say what Bruce Willis said to Hans after that. But that's my point. I don't care how the Jets did it. They did it. And if you're a Giant fan and you're rooting against the Jets, you're an idiot. I'm sorry. I'm a Giant fan. I'm rooting for the Jets. When you get older and when you mature a little bit, you'll understand that any New York team that can get to a Super Bowl or get to a World Series or get to an NHL Stanley Cup playoff title match, it's good. I didn't realize this, and I'll be completely honest with you, until 2000. I lived in California then. I was in a bar. The Stanley Cup Finals were on, and the Devils were playing the Dallas Stars. Okay? I'm a Ranger fan, but I'm a Jersey kid. There's no way in hell I'm rooting for Dallas. Does it mean that my Devil fan friends are going to give me you know what because they won another cup? Absolutely. The one sitting across from me right now continues to do it. But I'll take that because a local team won a championship. During the season, I can't stand the Devils. I can't stand the Islanders. And people out there who are Giant fans and who are Knick fans and who are Ranger fans are probably listening to this saying, this guy's an idiot. Well, that's all fine and good. I'm rooting for the Jets. I've picked against them the entire playoffs. That might not change. We'll get to the picks a bit later. Moving on to the Mets, and I'm just going to touch on the Mets and Nets briefly before Joe and I both open up a can of you-know-what on both of these franchises. But just really quick on the Mets, and we'll talk about this further. This is a team that when they signed Jason Bay, everything looked fine. Their lineup was starting to take form. Benji Molina was on the cusp. If you listen to some people on the radio in New York, it was a done deal, pretty much, and it could happen any second. Well, guess what? Benji Molina is back with San Francisco. Carlos Beltran is now on the shelf for 12 weeks, maybe even more. Jason Bay has to be looking at himself and saying, the hell did I do? They still don't have a number two behind Johan. The Mets, I know it may be 2010, but in their eyes, it's still 2009. It just continues to go downhill for the Metropolitans. And it's no one's fault but their own. And it starts at the top. Sorry, but that's where it starts. It's hard to say, but that's where it starts. And I know Mets season ticket holders did not re-up this year. They actually stuck to their guns. I'm proud of those people. You got to take a stand at some point. And now they're lost. They're still looking for another pitcher to back up Johan, as I said. They're still looking for first base help. There was a rumor, a tweet, that Carlos Delgado was going to the Blue Jays, but then that was redacted. The Blue Jays said, well, we don't know anything about that. But now that Beltran's out of that lineup, you might need Delgado. And now that Molina's out of the picture, you have three catchers that really aren't proven major leaguers. Chris Coast? Omir Santos? Come on. You need help. Now, as far as the Nets, our last rhyming team of the trio, as I look at the schedule in front of me and Devin Harris on the front of it, this, to me, boggles my mind. How the Nets can be this bad. Because on paper, if you look at the roster and you go to practices, like I've done, I was the sideline reporter, I've seen these guys, you know, they have the talent. When Lawrence Frank was there, at least they played defense. This is a team that lost to the Miami Heat on a three-point shot at the buzzer when Lawrence Frank was coaching. Final score was 81-80. They had the Miami Heat a very potent scoring team at 78 points with under a second left. They don't play any defense now. Is Bill Sheridan their defensive coach? Is that where he went when the Giants fired him? Was he moonlighting with the Nets? Was he trying to implement his version of the 4-3 with the Nets? They're almost halfway through the season. In fact, the day we are taping this, the game this evening will be the halfway point of the season. And at this point, the New Jersey Nets are 3-37. And in Phoenix tonight, I'll say it, I'll date it, they're probably going to leave Phoenix 3-38. Halfway through an NBA season and they have 3 wins. I know Devin Harris exploded like a week ago, got in his teammates' faces. Too little, too late. I don't know. I mean, they have to have a players-only meeting where they decide, hey, we're going to play some D and we're going to start, having some pride here. Believe it or not, you do have a fan base. You do. It's time to start acting like you care for the people that pay to see you play. I'm not saying anything that's groundbreaking here. You should already know this. But come on. Have a little backbone. Have a little heart. When somebody's driving through the lane, get in their way. Take a charge. I don't care if you just have 3 wins. Have some pride. When we come back, Joe and I will discuss these rhyming teams and much more, and that's when the Off the Wall podcast continues right here on YesNetwork.com.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast. I am Joe Auriemma. With me is the host of Off the Wall, the host of Batting Practice Today.
What?
With me.
And the host of the Sports Sprint. Don't forget
that.
The host
of the Sports Sprint and the writer of the
Off the Wall
blog. The one and only.
Oh, stop.
Chris Sheeran.
Stop. Anyway, our two-way sports talk telephone number here on the podcast, which we did get a phone call, by the way.
We did.
Like Wayne's World, like Wayne got a gun. Or actually, Iraq from his girlfriend, Lara Flynn Boyle, in
right.
Wayne's World. We got a call.
I didn't even own a gun, let alone enough to necessitate Iraq.
Yes. So, Steve, thank you for the call, and we will be hearing from you at the end of this segment. But first, we have to get to the New York Jets. Steve's was a baseball question, so we will answer that in our next segment when we talk about baseball. Right now, it's time to talk about the Jets, though. And, Joe, I don't know about you, but I was sitting there watching that game unfold. And in the second half, when the Jets were up 10-7, right before Sean Green broke it and put them up 17-7, I'm looking at the scoreboard. It's late in the third quarter, and I'm saying to myself, all right, if they were getting blown out. Now, this is the way I look at things. I don't know about you, but this is the way I look at things. If they're getting blown out, fine. They got destroyed.
Right.
They had a good season. It ends here. Whatever, San Diego's a great offensive team.
Right.
But they're winning 10-7 and then 17-7 early in the fourth quarter. Now I'm saying to myself, if they lose this game, I don't think Joe Beningo will ever go back to work again.
It's all the Jet fans, the entire fan base, had to be saying to themselves, just hold on for 14 more minutes. Just hold on for 13 more minutes. Just counting down the seconds.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of when the U.S. in 1980 beat the Soviets, and Herb Brooks said, the last 10 minutes of the third period in that game were the longest 10 minutes of his life.
Yep. And, you know, God rest his soul, Herb Brooks. You know, but looking at the Jets, I mean, look, I've heard a lot of talk radio over the last week, people talking about how, you know, not giving the Jets, some people not giving the Jets as much credit, some people giving the Jets too much credit. I think it's right in between, really. Some people saying that it was really a San Diego loss and not a Jets win, and that's complete bupkis because the Jets won that game. Mind you, North Turner's a complete moron, and I don't know how this guy just got a contract extension through 2013 because he stinks. That team was an offensive juggernaut all season. Now, the Jets did not let any big plays happen, which they don't do. This is a team that doesn't let the big play happen. However, you relied on the arm of Phillip Rivers all year. You relied on Antonio Gates. You relied on Vincent Jackson. You relied on the passing game, Darren Sproles. Where the heck was Darren Sproles in this whole scheme? Quick screen passes. Where was the bubble screen? What the heck were they doing? Why did they continue to give the ball to LaDainian Tomlinson? Run him into the line and create these second and 12s, third and 10s. What the hell is wrong with them?
Joe, I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, you look at all the weapons they have on the offensive side, and you have to scratch your head that it was only 7-0 at halftime. You have to scratch your
head. That's a Jets win right there.
Yeah, you have to scratch your head and say, how did the Chargers only score 14 points in the damn game?
Yeah, no.
They didn't have under 20 at any point during the season.
They played into the Jets game, and that's exactly what the Jets wanted. They wanted them to play into that style of game. The Jets continued to pound the ball. Sean Green was bound to break one. I am so impressed with him. Mark Sanchez, look, he didn't have a great game, but when they needed him to come up big, he came up big with that nice touchdown pass to Dustin Keller. The Jets continue to amaze me. Now winning 7 of their last 8. You can't say that they haven't beaten any playoff caliber teams because the last 2 weeks they've beaten 2 playoff teams. And the San Diego Chargers go back to the drawing board. The Jets go to Indianapolis, where the last time they couldn't move the ball against that Indianapolis defense in the first half. But really, it could make for something interesting this week. I think it's going to be closer than people think.
Now, I don't know. I don't know if you saw this, but Deadspin.com is a great website, and you know it's where I pick up all of my sports gossip, if you will. Vincent Jackson of the Chargers. I don't know if you know this, but he was arrested.
Them for Sunday
morning.
The peace?
No. He was pulled over.
Right.
He was arrested.
Oh, that's what Howard Cross told me. Howard, for the bad information.
He was convicted of a DUI once in the past. He faces a separate DUI charge that has yet to be resolved after multiple continuances. He was driving with a suspended license. Police officers in San Diego pulled Jackson over for vehicle noise violation to discover his vehicle tags had expired, and he was not legally allowed to drive. He was arrested going to the Chargers facility that morning. So now people in San Diego have the audacity to be blaming San Diego police for doing their job and arresting this
guy. Was it also the San Diego
police? Phillip Rivers, listen, one of the biggest games of his career, Phillip Rivers that morning has to go bail out his star receiver.
Was it also the San Diego police's problem, or was it their fault that Vincent Jackson, in a no-brain move, kicks the challenge flag and gets a 15-yard penalty after he makes a great catch to possibly get them back in that game?
The biggest game. I don't care about your 11 straight wins. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what matters? The losing streak that you just started, which is 1, which will continue next year, I guarantee you. Because to be that good and to win 11 games in a row, and to get to that point, and to have what happened. How much money do you think Vincent Jackson makes? He makes a little bit more than us, right?
He makes a lot more than us, yeah.
He can't take care of tags on his car. He can't take care of a suspended license.
You cannot make this
up. It makes you just like, what the hell are these guys thinking?
You can't make it up, Chris. You just can't make it up.
You are not an ordinary person. You are a world-class athlete. Why get into a vehicle if you have a suspended license? Oh, I'm a receiver on the Chargers. They're going to let you go? Apparently not.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have a
lot. Ponch and John.
They have a lot of
other ideas.
Because they, you know, Ponch. Oh, I like that. A little California Highway Police.
Oh, we need that theme in there somewhere.
Chips. But, Estrada. Remember that. But,
which is a great commercial.
That is a great commercial. But, Chris, going back to the game itself, just. The Chargers did kill themselves. Nate Kading can't make a big field goal to save his life.
You got to give him a break on the 57-yarder. But the other two
were within 40 yards.
You got to
And he had
hit
made 69 straight of those
you
in a row.
Hit those
and
field goals.
Then he misses two in a
and
row.
And now
there.
All the Jet fans are tying that in to, you know, 1969.
And now we're playing Indianapolis. And Indianapolis was the team that basically put their team on the sideline to get them into the postseason.
And the AFL on the map way back when.
Of course.
But, yeah, I mean,
There's a lot of correlation.
Not only can the Jets end the perfect season, they could end the season for the Colts. And, listen, I'm telling you right now, I blogged about this earlier in the week. I wrote a letter of apology to Coach Rex Ryan and the New York Jets, just in case any of them listen to this little podcast that we do here. Which I highly doubt they do, but if they did, I just wanted to apologize for me not buying in. And you know what? I give all the credit in the world to Rex Ryan. He goes up there. Not only does he talk the talk, his team hears it and they walk the walk behind him. That's a team that you know. You know when there's times when a coach loses his team. Tom Coughlin, Bill Sheridan. The last 2 weeks of the Giants season was God-awful. It was probably the worst, and I said it before, I'll say it again, the worst two Giants games I've seen in a row, and I lived through the Dave Brown era. And that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. And Howard Cross would back me up on that. The two worst Giants games in a row that I've ever seen in my life as a Giants fan. Okay? Rex Ryan has this Jet team. I look at him as Julius Caesar. Okay? There's no Brutus, though. Everyone is behind Rex Ryan. Everyone.
Yeah. Chris, everyone is kind of just saying right now they're going along with it. And
forget
with what
House
he
Money.
Says, this was the year to do it, too.
They put it all on green. Okay?
Yeah.
And they've won. Now they have House Money plus ridiculous amounts
of money. Well, the good thing about this run, too, is, look, even if the Jets lose this week, I know Jet fans are going to be disappointed, but you can't say it's the same old Jets. You can't do that.
No, you
because
can.
This team.
But you got to wait. You got to wait to see how they might lose it. If it's, you know, if the Jets are winning, let's just throw a number out.
Kind of like 10-0 against the Broncos in 98.
Then they, you know, they end up in. They come out in the second half and they turn the ball over five times, and then you'd have a case to say, oh, again?
Yeah, but you know what, Chris? Nobody expected them to be here at this point. This is
That they are here, Joe, I think.
Oh, I know.
I think it all goes back to, hey, enough of that talk. We're here. We're in the title game. We've proved
we
belong
do it.
Here.
Right.
But, all right, listen. You proved you belong. Listen, if this was college football, let's just put it out there. Florida lost to Alabama this year. So let's say, in order to get here, I would say Indianapolis is Alabama of the AFC, okay? And Florida was San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Florida.
They did, yeah.
They belong here.
Of course.
It's not like they went and they beat Chattanooga State.
No, I know. No.
Cincinnati could have been Chattanooga State.
San Diego
was not a good football team. They were a great football team. And the Jets beat them not handily on the scoreboard, but it was a fight. You listen to anybody that was there that analyzed this game, it was a heavyweight fight, and the Jets continuously punched them in the mouth.
Oh, and I
give Rex Ryan another big-time high five. I was sitting there at home. I was watching that 4th-and-1, and I was like, all right, Let's see if, you know, let's see if
let's
he...
Let's see if he pulls a Mangini.
No, I said, let's see if he continues to be Rex Ryan and just ends the game here like he has been all season, or if he's, or if he kicks a field goal or he pooch punts and says, all right, I'm going to let the defense... No, Rex Ryan was the bravado Rex Ryan he always has
been
this season.
The right call, Chris.
I know it was the right call. It was the right call in my heart. But they showed it was perfect timing by CBS cameras. They took a shot of him on the sidelines, and he said, we're going for it. And I said, there you go. There's the season.
Yeah, I mean,
right,
look, we all know that a missed field goal would have given them good field position. A made field goal would have made the game.
And if a punt goes into the end zone, that offense could go 80 yards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They could go. They didn't even need to go 80 yards. They just need to get into field goal range, where I'm sure Nate Kading would have made, you know, a field goal to tie the game. But look, they did the. It was the right move. They went for it. They stuck the nail in the coffin, and now they're reaping the benefits. They're onto Indianapolis.
And
now,
people out there who don't believe this is going to be not a good game but a great game, and they think the NFC game is going to be better, you need to go somewhere and get checked. If the Jets offense doesn't turn the ball over, think about the matchups, okay? The Colts, quick defense against probably, arguably, and I'll give my partner here credit for it, the best offensive line emerging as the best offensive
they
line
are.
In the National Football League.
Okay? They manhandle defensive lines
and you
like
said
nobody
that,
else.
You said that early in the season. I'm not even talking about when you said it like 3 weeks ago. You said this at the beginning of the season.
I mean, when you guys, you have guys like, you know, Damian Woody and
Mangold.
Nick Mangold and
Faneca.
Alan Faneca is just so good. They physically push guys back and create all of these wide open gaps for Thomas Jones and Sean Green
now,
to run
you're
through.
You're
going to
have...
By the way, can we just give the Jets a little bit of credit here as well? They lose Chris Jenkins. They lose Leon Washington.
Oh, absolutely.
Two of their big, big play guys.
There were fans
guys.
When Chris Jenkins went down. There were fans here who we work with that said, oh, teams are going to be able to run all over this team now. Tell me a team that has run all over the Jets.
It's unbelievable.
Before we get to the picks really quick, which we're going to make really fast here at the end of this football segment, we won't make you wait around for those, even though you could cheat and just skip ahead if you wanted to. I said that last week, too, but whatever. The Jets offensive line, as good as they are, going to have their hands full this week. They have two Pro Bowlers at either end here in Mathis. And Freeney, who's just a beast. If they could contain them, though, it might be, you know, they're on the ends. If they could plow out the middle of that defensive line and have their way inside, I don't think they're going to get too much done on the outside.
Yep.
Unless it's the misdirection that they ran against the Bengals and scored twice on. And you got to get Freeney and Mathis to pinch in, and then that's the only way you're going to get outside. I think if the Jets could control the line of scrimmage and have their way with them with the running game, it could be a great game.
It could be a great game.
Because you have a great offense led by Peyton Manning going up, and you have to say it now. I don't care what anybody says. It's a great defense. And if they beat the Colts, whoever wins in the NFC.
Look out. And you know what, Chris? Like you said, it could be a great game. The one thing that you do have to be concerned with is that they couldn't move the ball against that, Indianapolis first defense in the first game. However, they were still in the game when all those guys were, eventually came out of the game. So it could be a very good game. It really could be.
All right. Here we go, Joe. The picks last week, we tied. We were both 2-2, which means I'm 4-4 for the playoffs. You are 5-3, one game better.
Yes.
This week we have two games. We have the early game, which we'll do first.
Right.
It's also local. The Jets, of course, obviously going to play Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. All the talk, Joe, after the Jets beat the Colts to end the streak was that, oh, they only won because Peyton Manning and the starters left the game. And everybody that you listen to on talk radio, I'm not going to mention names. They know who they are. All they said on the air was, well, you're stupid if you think the Jets would have won if Peyton Manning stayed in the game. I'm not too sure. I don't know. No one really
knows.
I mean, you could sit there and you could puff your chest out and you could, I know everything and, you know, never would have happened. Peyton Manning just went right through the Jets defense to take a 15-10 lead. He scored when he needed to. The Jets couldn't stop him. Guess what? Jet fans who've been calling and saying, you never know. Well, this Sunday, you're going to know. And I like to be consistent, and I know Jet fans listening will thank me for doing this. Hopefully, I'm consistently bad. I'm taking Indianapolis at home to beat the Jets. It's going to be close. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Colts end up winning by at least 10 points. It'll be tight, but then the Colts pull away. Maybe 10, 13 points they win it by. So I take Indianapolis in the early game. In the late game, we have the Saints hosting the Vikings. Brett Favre totally lit up the Cowboys. And as far as Keith Brooking having, you know, taking exception to that late touchdown on a 4th-and-1, I could see where he's coming from. It's the professional level. But at the same time, there were times that Brett Favre was drilled by Dallas Cowboy teams. Maybe Brooking doesn't remember that. This was his first year on the team. The Cowboys, whenever they had a chance during the Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman years, lit it up against the Packers. And they didn't stop for anything. So, Keith, shut your mouth. Okay? If Brett Favre wanted to do that, all those big-time losses to the Cowboys when he was with Green Bay, in the back of his head. Okay? Take that with a grain of salt. Take your lump, get back on the plane, and go back to Dallas. Reload for next year with Wade Phillips, who apparently is coming back for not just 1 year, but multiple years. Dallas, good luck. As my partner says, with all that. Having said that, Vikings, Saints, listen, from the time Favre came back, I was on board. Joe could attest to that. He was here when we had our argument. Joe has become back on the Brett Favre side of things. I would love to see Brett. You know what I'd love to see? I would love to see the Vikings and Jets in the Super Bowl. And I know a lot of Jet fans would like to see that. It would just be 2 weeks of nonstop talking and nonsense. And it'd be great for the podcast. It would be great for everybody's radio shows. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be the Saints and the Colts, the two teams this season that were both 13-0 at one point before the Saints lost their last three games, and the Colts, of course, lost their last two after going 14-0. I just think in Miami, it's going to be New Orleans and Indianapolis. Joe, your turn.
All right. Well, you know, I'll take the AFC game as well first. And it's funny that you said 10 points because I actually think the final score is going to be 24-14. That was the score that kind of popped into my head, and I think it's going to be Indianapolis. I'm sorry, Jet fans, I do not see Peyton Manning, who is in throughout his career been a mediocre playoff quarterback. I mean, the guy has a Super Bowl, but he's been, you know, mediocre at times and has lost very big games. I just don't see the Jets having enough offense in this contest to win this game. And I think if the Jets give up 20 or more points to the Colts, which is very, you know, most teams do that in the NFL. They give up 20 or more points to the Colts. I don't think the Jets have enough offense to combat what the Colts can bring to the table. I think it's the Indianapolis Colts and the AFC. Going to the NFC, I know you brought up, I want to bring up the Dallas thing real quick. And you know my opinion of the Dallas Cowboys. It's not just
boy
going,
do I after last
not,
week.
It's not just going back to the Aikman and Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin era, but it's going back to the Roger Staubach era, the Danny White era. Anytime the Cowboys had an opportunity to run up the score against anybody else, they always did it. And that is why Giant fans, Eagle fans, Redskin fans, and basically every other fan of every other team cannot stand the Cowboys. Even when they were down 17-3 in the game and 24-3, they were bumping their chest out like they were winning 17-3 and 24-3.
After tackles.
And not only that, but they were down 4 scores at one point in the middle of the fourth quarter, and they were calling timeouts like they actually had a chance to win the game. So if the Minnesota Vikings are saying, oh, you're down 4 scores and you're calling timeouts, you still think you're in the game? We're going to play at full speed. So you know what? There you go. Keith Brooking, sit your butt down on the sideline, okay? I'm not a big fan of running up the score on anybody, but because it was against the Cowboys, Brett Favre has an all-new respect in my book. And, Chris, since the end of the season, I know they had a big game against the New Orleans Saints, But I really have not been a big fan of this Dallas Cowboy team. I just don't think they come up in big games and in big situations. And I thought the Minnesota Vikings were going to win this game. I really did. And with that being said, I think the Minnesota Vikings are playing another team that I'm not really impressed with. Now, mind you, they were impressive all season. This is the number one seed in the NFC in the New Orleans Saints. They have a home field advantage. But really, look, they lost in the Superdome when they supposedly had that big home field advantage, when they were 13-0, and they looked awful doing it. They looked awful doing it. And that Patriot game that everybody's saying was their big win, well, was it really? Patriots that good?
No.
So you know what? The New Orleans Saints, to me, are a bit overrated. They do have a game changer in Reggie Bush. They do have a great offense with Pierre Thomas, Devery Henderson, Marquise Colston, Drew Brees. I mean, they're just dynamic. Jeremy Shockey. But to me, Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings and their defensive line, when that defensive line is clicking on all cylinders and they're getting pressure on that quarterback with Jared Allen and Edwards and all those guys.
I think that was the key. Not to interrupt, but I think that was the key. You put Romo on his hiney, he's a different quarterback.
And I think that's with any quarterback. I think that's even with Drew Brees. And I think they're going to come at it the same game plan that they had last week. They're going to come at Brees, and Favre is going to go out, and he's got a great, you know, receiver in Sidney Rice, and Adrian Peterson's going to get a big load this week. And I got the Minnesota Vikings. I got Vikings, Colts, and I think you're going to see Favre Manning in the Super Bowl.
That's another great one. Good storylines there. You can't complain with that. So there you have it, our picks. I'm taking the Colts and Saints. Joe thinks the Colts and Vikings. Interesting week of football. Championship weekend, and we're going to talk about it next week after those games. After Sunday, we'll be getting ready for the Super Bowl. When we come back, we talk a little baseball. And Steve, your question right here will be answered when we come back to the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com. Steve from New York, take it away.
Hi, this is Steve from New York. I just wanted to ask about Johnny Damon. If he comes, do you think he would take $2 million contract? Thank you. Bye.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. You can call us, as Steve from New York
yes.
did, our one call, as we said earlier.
A call.
We'd like to get more than a call here on the podcast, so please pick up the phone and dial 646-487-3668. That's 646-487-3668. Or send us an email at offthewall@yesnetwork.com.
Chris now, and I also do parties, by the way, if you
yes,
want to call up.
Yes,
so.
Yes, we do. Just like the Ghostbusters when they stopped, you know, ghostbusting in the beginning of Ghostbusters.
We just need a theme song.
Yeah, we have
call
to.
Ray Parker Jr. I'm
yeah,
sure he's
exactly.
doing something.
He'll help us out with that. But anyway, let's answer Steve's question. His question, to refresh everybody's memory from just before our break, was, will Johnny Damon accept a $2 million offer to come to the Yankees, because that's really all the Yankees have left to spend is $2 million a year? And my answer to that would be probably a resounding no. Damon and his agent, Scott Boras, Damon had the opportunity, and Joe, you could chime in with this too, to come back to the Yankees for 2 years, $14 million, $7 million a year. Damon and Boras turned it down. And now where are they?
Well, they thought that other offers were going to start rolling in. They didn't realize that all of these other teams were going to make trades and bolster their outfield, not through the free agent market. They went via cheaper routes. And, yeah, Damon really, he lost out on this. He thought he was going to get a multiple-year deal at almost, you know, $10 to $12 million a year. And that's not the way it is anymore.
And we talked to Paul Rubillo also recently for our Yankees rumor mill, which is up at yesnetwork.com as well. You can check that out. And we asked him about the Damon situation in point blank. I asked him, do you think Damon would do that for $2 million? And he flat out said, absolutely not. And the thing that Damon is going to do now, and what Paul said, it's a tremendous point on his
point.
Wait
it out.
He's got to wait it out, see if there's any big injuries someplace, and see if he could do Yahtzee.
You know what I said? And now that the Mets
now have Damon lost has out, to roll the dice.
How about this? Now that the Mets have lost out on Molina, can Jason Bay or Frank Kaur play center field until Carlos Beltran comes back? Because then he could put Damon out on left. I know it sounds like a disaster, but then when Beltran comes back, then he could put Damon at first. I mean, the Mets are just out of options at this point.
Well, I don't know about Damon at first, but I mean,
it can't be any worse than what else they got going on. Danny Murphy stinks.
Oh, I don't know. But putting Damon in that cavernous outfield is not very conducive to what he can do.
I would agree.
He's not the same outfielder he was. His legs are pretty much shot. Listen, the Yankees lost a big-time clubhouse presence by not bringing Damon back. They did try to bring him back. I'm not blaming the Yankees. $14 million over 2 years for Damon's services.
Great
to
offer.
To me, that's a great offer on the Yankees' part. Damon thinking that this is going to be his last big payday, and I can't blame him for that, but in the financial times we're in, and with the Yankees on a budget, Yankees and budget in the same sentence, you never really thought you'd hear that. But that was pretty much the be-all, end-all that he was going to get is probably $7 million. Now he's probably not even going to make that.
No.
That's the risk you take when you're a free agent, and that's the risk Damon's taking right now.
And he rolled the dice and he lost.
And as Paul said, now he plays the waiting game. Now he has to wait and see what's going to happen if anybody in spring training, a big-name outfielder, goes down. Maybe for Damon's sake, somebody in the Cincinnati outfield. I'm not wishing injury on anyone. Let's not get, not go there, but that's a bandbox of a stadium, and
I mean, maybe him and Scott Boras could do a little Wonder Twin powers
activate.
in the shape of Albert Pujols to make him look a little bit bigger, and maybe he'll get a contract from somebody else.
Wow, not gonna go there either. But did it shock you that Pujols had Maguire's back?
Oh yeah,
it just never ends. But the Mets, Joe. I mean. You mentioned
disclaimer, Damon. By the way, I don't think Albert Pujols is on steroids.
That's fine.
Maybe.
That's fine.
Not.
Who knows? And who will ever
He's
know?
Taking
at this
antibiotics.
Point?
All right.
moving right along. You brought up Damon with the Mets. The Mets are just, I mean, how has it just been? A car can go, you measure a car by how it can go 0 to 60 in how many seconds. The new 8-cylinder Camaro, which I test drove, goes from 0 to 60 in about 4.6 seconds. The Mets season went from decent to dreadful in about the same amount of time.
And you know what? And you bring up the car analogy. Well, the crash dummies in this whole thing are Omar Minaya and Jeff Wilpon.
Oh, God.
Talk about two guys that... when I think about them, the off season that they've had, the season that they had last year, I think it's time to start anew.
Oh my goodness! I mean, you just, I always use the phrase "scratch your head." If I was a Met fan, I'd be scratching my head so much I'd be bald, and me being bald, I'd be down to my skull right now. I just don't know why they're waiting so long. I don't know how much they listen. We keep bringing this back up about Madoff. I don't know how much they got hit. In that area, I don't know what the financial situation is, but you have a new stadium and you want to fill that new stadium. You had to be in on, I don't know if they were, but you had to be in on the Halliday. You had to be in on, if Cliff Lee was, not that the Phillies are going to trade him to the Mets, but if Cliff Lee was being made available, come on.
And again, you see so many stories out there. The Yankees went out and got Javi Vasquez. There were pitchers available on the market.
It's just,
the Mets have not done anything. I understand the Jason Bay signing. Yeah,
you had to do that, yeah.
You had to do something. But is Jason Bay going to put fannies in the seats?
But after Jason Bay signed that contract, it seems that everything is going awful for the Mets, and it has to do with things that start with the letter B. You had Beltran going down with his knee surgery. Then
that whole situation was weird too. Just awful.
Yeah, it gets weirder and weirder. And then, you're courting Benji Molina, another B, Benji, to come here to New York. And I think it's more of a situation where this guy saw the writing on the wall. He could have took a one-year deal with the Mets for $5 million and been with a pitching staff that is still up in the air, basically. Or he could have went back to San Francisco, which he did for 1 year at $4.5 million.
With an up-and-coming team in the NL West who has a shot to win the division.
Absolutely,
because the Dodgers are
a mess with that whole McCourt divorce is going.
Great.
Yeah, and the Giants, you know.
Sanchez and Zito, I mean, that is a good rotation.
Yeah, if Zito remembers that, a bitch.
He didn't have a bad year last
year. He had a decent year.
With a Molina behind the
plate.
But
if he could put it together and you have Kane and you have Lincecum, and, you know, they revere that guy in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win for the Giants. And, you know, maybe Christopher Russo
is
enjoying a little playoff baseball this year.
All of this adds up to another a bad offseason for the Mets. And it looks like it's going to be a bad off, 2010 for the Mets. And you know what? You know, you have, you know, the highest payroll in the National League, and you're going to watch, once again, the Philadelphia Phillies win that division.
Were you telling me they're still paying Bobby Bonilla?
Starting in 2011 to 2035, because of the deferred money that he makes, he's got 25 years of $1.4 million coming in every year for 25 years from the New York Mets.
Oh my God, it's like he scratched off a lottery ticket right there. Every year.
I guess with interest and everything else, it occurred.
Don't
up
you
to
think
1.
He'd 4. Have to be a pinch hitter at least like 30 games out of the season? Do something.
It's unbelievable. The Mets are going to be paying this guy for 25 years.
I mean, that's just insult to injury.
Hey, that's a great deal by Bobby Bonilla. I want his agent.
Yeah. All right. Now, so we talked about the Jets. We hit on the Mets really quick to end the podcast. I brought up the Nets in a monologue. Listen, I loved Lawrence Frank. I think he still is a great coach. I just think there were some issues with the team that were never going to be resolved. And
right.
He had to go. And, you know, now looking at this team, like I said, and you could agree or disagree with me, at least when he was there, I mean, I know they were 0-17, but when he was there, they were playing D.
Yeah.
They were playing D, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. And the one thing I'll say about this, Chris, this topic, is that, look, the New York Knicks might not be the best team in the league. At least they're competitive night in and night out. This Net team, I mean, the other night in the Boston game, they were down 72-35 at half. 72-35.
Yeah.
They're a joke. They are a complete joke. They don't play defense. They're terrible. Brook Lopez is a man amongst boys. You know, he has shown signs of playing well. I feel bad for a guy like Chris Douglas Roberts, who the other night came out and said, you know, my teammates have kind of been getting on me because I take these losses hard. And I come out and I, you know, publicly say things that I probably shouldn't say that are on my mind. You know what?
Somebody's got to do it.
You're the only one that's got heart on that team. Tell your teammates to shut up.
Somebody's got to do it.
When you are, when you've won 3 games out of 40,
all right,
show a little heart.
Lawrence Frank was there for 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or maybe even 16.
No.
He was fired right before the Laker game.
0-17, yeah.
Right. Okay. And by the way, he was in L.A. when they did it. Or in Sacramento, right after the Sacramento game. In those 17 games, the Nets gave up 100 points 4 times. Okay? The 17 games following, now I have to count this out as we do it, but I'll try to do it quick. Lakers did. Dallas did. 1, 2, 3, 4. The Knicks did. 5. Chicago did. The Warriors did. The Pacers did. The Hawks did. The Jazz did. The Raptors did. The Lakers did. The T-Wolves did. And the Thunder did.
So 12. 12-4. They're not playing defense, Chris. They're just not a good team. You know what? I would not. They're on pace right now for 6
They're
wins.
Right on the same exact pace that the Philadelphia 76ers of 72 and 73 were on, and they had the worst record in the league at 9-73.
Well, the Philadelphia team had 9 wins.
Correct.
Right now, Aren't the Nets on pace for 6 wins?
They're on pace for 6, but they're matching the pace
of the Sixers.
The Sixers didn't get their 4th win that year till their 42nd game. The Nets' 42nd game
is
this Friday,
I
the
hope
22nd
the Nets
at
shoot
Golden
for the
State.
Stars. I really do. I hope they shoot for the stars and have something to play for at the end of the season, and I hope that's their 8th win, because I really don't see this team winning any more than 8 games. They are dreadful. They're a disgrace. They're an embarrassment to the NBA. And you know what? As much as Troy Benjamin and Mike Medvin and all of these other basketball fans, these NBA fans, can tell me, how could you even make a comment like this? That's an embarrassment to the NBA that you would even say something like that. Give me John Wall in Kentucky, and I want to see them in an exhibition, and I think they could kick the Nets' butts, and that's the truth.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as kick the Nets' butts. I think
I think it would be
a game, if maybe not for the entire game, for most of it.
It's a joke.
It'd be interesting, it's about heart. And you know, from talking to CDR in the locker room after some brutal losses and just trying to get his reaction to things, this kid wears every loss on his sleeve. He does. Whether you want to believe that or not, or whether you think this guy is, you know, a phony, or he's not a phony. He wants to win.
Oh, he's going to be wearing losses on his sleeve the rest of the way, because well, it's going to be probably another 35 to 40.
Just to get Eric Roldan and I, another Yes Network employee, we sat here with this Nets schedule and, you know, half-heartedly went through the schedule.
Al Ianazone said, well, the Nets have now gotten through the easy part of their schedule.
Well, the Nets were, it was, I think it was right around the time they fired Lawrence Frank. So it was the beginning of, I think it was late November or early December. I'm trying to remember when it was. It was late November. And Eric was in my office and we were talking, and we went through the schedule through January. And I have the card behind me. We said 6 wins through January.
Nope.
Now, they play Phoenix. They play Golden State, which is a winnable game. They play Utah. And then after the Utah, they have 3 days off before they play the Clippers, the Wizards, and the Sixers, all at home to end January. Now, listen. Out of the last 6 games of the month of January, 4 of them are winnable. They could win. They could beat Golden State. They could beat the Clippers. They could beat the Wizards. They could beat the Sixers. They could.
And you know how many?
It's a matter of playing defense.
You know how many they're going to win?
I know that answer. But the thing you have to do, the only thing you have to do, and I do this. I played basketball in high school. I never made it to the college level. I wasn't good enough. You know, I rode the pines. I told Josh Boone. I was sitting on the bench with him interviewing him. I said, this was my view for pretty much all of my basketball career. But you don't have to be a player to understand the game. And I watch the Nets because it's my job. I have to do it. And I just see people driving through the lane. I see people driving through the lane with reckless abandon, and nobody gets in their way. Nobody. And that's what I was talking about in the monologue at the beginning. It's about heart. I know you only have 3 wins. I know it. But that doesn't mean when you're out there on that floor, you aren't an NBA player. Take some pride in that. You're a professional. You're a young team. I know this. But it's not like you're not talented. All you have to do is play some defense. That's all they have to do.
How about just taking it one game at a time, too?
Well, that's the only thing they can do. But play some D and play for pride.
They're a joke. They're a joke.
But it's sad when you go to the website or you look at commercials.
They're not going
to
lure any free agents here.
And the way you're promoting your team,
you're promoting other teams.
It's promoting the stars on other teams.
How about if you get season tickets to the Nets? You get a reversible jersey, a net on one side, and your favorite other NBA star on the other.
That's awful. I have nothing to say. I mean, it's tough. It's tough.
And you know
and
what?
Chris Douglas guys Roberts. Like,
and guys in the Nets organization are doing the best they can the management, guys like Brett Yarmark and
no,
all
they
those
do,
guys.
They do a great job. I'm not.
He's trying to get Fannies in the seat.
He has to do
he's
that.
He's trying to.
He's doing his job. But
he's doing
just,
a hell of a job.
It's a, yeah, and it, but it's a sad state of affairs. It really is.
Yeah. And
Chris Douglas Roberts said it after they played the Lakers at home. He said, well, I didn't know I was at the Staples Center tonight.
Yeah. That's how it is, man. That's how it is. You know, people are going to see other teams. And like I said to you,
that's
Chris.
That's disheartening, though, for a player.
Like I said to you, Chris, this is my last point. The Nets are not going to lure any free agents because who wants to play for this Mickey Mouse organization? And again, it's nothing against the upper management because this is the hand that they were dealt. Nobody's going to want to play for this organization. And the Nets better hope they get the number one pick. Hope. It's a 1-4 shot in it.
Yeah.
Better hope that John Wall is coming here.
Well, having said that, Mr. Oriyama, I think that's about going to wrap up our time today for the Off the Wall podcast. Just want to throw an idea at you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Monday we have a special Jets edition.
Yeah, I'm in.
And we'll do that after the Jets-Colts AFC title game. So we'll get our thoughts the day after and not wait till Wednesday. So we get our thoughts out on the table. We'll break it down quarter by quarter if we have to, if it warrants it. And hopefully we'll get some of your calls. So please, Sunday after the game, if you're sitting around after the game, get on the horn, 646-487-3668. We want to answer your Jets questions on that special Monday edition
yes,
of the Off the Wall podcast. For Joe Oriyama, I'm Chris Sheeran. Once again, if you've made it through this long, we very much appreciate it. We thank you for listening. We hope you're there late Monday night listening to our Jet recap. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week, everybody. Take care.
When the world is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act. Send the music get to you like it's so bad at all.
You live it off the wall.
Right place, so-